Right now, joining us is Kayla Anderson, great reporter for News 2, all over the Titans and the Preds. Kayla, happy Monday. Thank you for getting up a little early for us. We appreciate it.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just brewed a fresh cup of coffee, so I'm ready to go.
All right, there we go. So I would think Arthur Smith could probably afford a higher grade of coffee these days, as he's now the new Atlanta Falcons head coach. You've covered this team. You've been to press conferences. You've been to games. You've seen Arthur in person. I'm curious, from your vantage point, at the end of the day, what did you learn about Arthur Smith and his time here in Tennessee?
First and foremost, I learned that he is a guy that is a hard worker, regardless of, you know, his background and where he comes from in terms of the FedEx down there in Memphis. This guy doesn't take anything for granted. I mean, he has worked for every single thing he has received in the coaching world. And you clearly saw that just within the Titans organization. I mean, he went through three different head coaching coaches, and he remained on the staff. I mean, that really says something about a guy and his work ethic. So I learned that about him. I also learned that his players and other coaches on the staff have complete respect for him. I don't know if there's any person that I heard on that staff or players that I heard that had a bad thing to say about Arthur Smith.
Hmm. Kayla, tons of well wishers for Arthur Smith and his newest endeavor, but it does make you kind of question what actually he's getting himself involved in. This is an offense in Atlanta that was, you know, pretty much anemic with some talented players. You know, how do you think his role will be in kind of resurrecting a team that has a lot of talent but didn't hit up to the mark this year?
Yeah, it's always a challenge when especially you're going from an offensive coordinator in a place that you've been comfortable in for the past several years. Everything kind of has fallen into place for him here because he's worked for it, obviously. But now you're taking that next big step. And so it's always a challenge, I think, for anyone. You're going to a new environment. You're the guy now, right? I mean, you're going to be the one that's looked at if things go wrong. But what I will say is I think by now he should have the tools. He should have the connections in terms of hiring the right staff to get things in place there. And what I also like about Atlanta and the fit there is the ownership, right? You're going to a place where you feel comfortable, like Amy Adams Strunk. I think everybody, you know, has seen what she's done here. You go to Atlanta and the ownership is there. You have kind of like a backup, someone who's going to stick up for you. And then you have the tools on offense. You have a guy like Matt Ryan, regardless of his age. I know he's getting up there, but we've seen what he can do in the past. They have the tools. You got a guy like Julio Jones. You got a guy like Calvin Ridley. The run game is something that I definitely say keep an eye out on, because this is clearly something that Arthur Smith had tools to work with here in Derrick Henry, but I feel like he has things in place. For me, it was the best fit for Arthur.
Kayla Anderson, News 2, joining us here on 104.5 The Zone. You know, one more thing on the Atlanta front. It's interesting with Arthur Smith going there to be the head coach. You see some of the reports from Jason LaCanfora and Ian Rapoport that he might be able to lure Dean Pease out of retirement. If Arthur Smith is able to do that and get Dean to go to Atlanta to coordinate his defense, I mean, we're only a year removed from him retiring with Mike Vrabel. Does that look poorly upon Mike Vrabel, or is it just the right fit, the right timing, and maybe Dean's got the itch to come back?
I think you have to look at it both ways, right? But we don't hear everything that goes on behind the scenes. And so, you know, I don't know. Is it a case where Mike Vrabel is hard to work for? We saw what happened with Dean Pease and his health before. We know that there are a lot of long hours always included in being any kind of coach at the NFL level. But was it to the extreme? I don't know. What I do know is that Dean Pease clearly still has the itch. We've heard plenty of interviews with him on 104.5 this off season, and he kind of alluded to the fact that he, you know, he's kind of bored and he has the itch again. And to get a guy like that to go over to Atlanta to work with Arthur Smith, who he's already worked with, to have a guy like that on your staff on the defensive side, I guess that would be a really big weight off Arthur's shoulder in terms of finding a guy that you know already can work with you, puts a good product out on the field that players respect, that would be a huge hire. I'm all for it, guys, too. Big Dean Pease fan right here.
Kayla, one thing that has been obvious this year and even the years before this is the relationship that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel have in not only, you know, getting good draft picks and Jimmys and Joes and on the field, but, you know, good quality staff. So, you know, with what they're tasked with finding this year, how hard do you think it'll be to replace guys like Art Smith and finding other quality assistants, maybe even on the defensive side of the football, that can take some of that pressure away from Mike having to do everything?
Yeah, that's a tough thing, because when you're a team that wins games, they are going to start plucking, you know, in terms of offensive numbers. Hey, you know, what did Arthur Smith do in this short amount of time? He clearly did enough to get the eyes of almost every team that was needing a head coach, because, I mean, he had interviews all over the place. So the Titans, in terms of offense, now they've got two vacancies to fill, and that's a lot. Considering it's the coordinating positions, the top coordinating positions. So you look on the offensive side of the ball, guys, and you really wonder, do they promote from within like they did with a guy like Arthur Smith, because they want to keep that continuity there? And I think that's big, considering the fact that when you try to look at the defensive side of the ball, you're probably going to hire someone not within, right? You're going to take someone on the outside. At least in my opinion, that's what should happen. But on the offensive side, I mean, you guys can look at tight ends coach Todd Downing. You've got a guy like quarterback coach Pat O'Hara, who has had years of play calling ability, obviously at the AFL level, not in the NFL. And so you could go with any of those guys. Do I think it's a right fit? I don't know. I don't know them well enough. We don't talk to them enough to kind of know that. But I do like, too, a guy like Tony Dews. I mean, he definitely has the respect from the guys. He's seen what he's done in that running back room. The personality of him sticks out a little bit more to me, but not as much play calling ability. So do you promote from within? I'd say for continuity purposes, yes. But we'll have to wait and see. On the defensive side, I just think you've got to go out and look for a guy.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, Kayla. That locker room already knows the answer to that question. Because if you're talking about elevating a guy that they're already familiar with, they can either, like, yes, and they have high praise for that, Mark, like we heard from Mark Mariani, that was coached by Art Smith, or they can start holding their nose and start rolling their eyes, which obviously gives you the indication that this guy ain't going to be very effective here.
Wow, that's a great point. I talked to Wesley Woodyard back last week, and I was talking to him just about how important it is to have a guy running the show that these players have respect for. And that's why they all love Dean Pease, right? I mean, this guy had been in the league, obviously, a long time, has earned respect, but he's just a guy that they all love to play for. And when you have the right guy in place and the players agree with that and have respect for that guy, they're going to play their butts off for him. And so you're right on about that point. That is going to be something that they have to get right.
Kayla Anderson News 2 joining us. Kayla, one more football for me, and then we'll get to some Pred stuff. I mean, look, let's face it. Myself, Brad, you, Corey Curtis, we're in the content business. We're interested in compelling stories. And I look at this division and what could be next year. I mean, let's say somehow Deshaun Watson does come back. He and Cal McNair, you know, come to some kumbaya and they get along. Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. I don't know. Rivers comes back. He retires. I don't know. Maybe they trade for Carson Wentz. All I know is the AFC South could be incredibly juicy in 2021.
I love that word, juicy, and I'm here for it, guys. I'm here for it because it gives us so much content in the off season. There's so many storylines within each team in the AFC South, and you just kind of, you know, put them all out there. But just recently, I think we've had so much to talk about with the drama that's going on in Houston. That's huge news to me. I mean, the fact that Deshaun Watson could have played his last game in a Houston Texans uniform, it's mind-boggling, but very understandable. I love watching Deshaun Watson play, but I think the Titans wouldn't mind if they didn't have to play him two times a year in the regular season. And then you got the stuff in Jacksonville. I mean, I covered Urban for 3 years in Columbus. Look, I know what Urban's about. The guy can win, but he's always going to bring stuff with him. And it should be interesting to see him try to turn things around there, see if he can find success at the NFL level, and just the whole storyline with him and head coach Mike Vrabel with the Ohio State guys. I think that's great. And then, yeah, up in Indy, man, do you stick with Rivers again, old man Rivers, for another year? Do you have to just kind of cut the ties and try to find a new quarterback? I cannot wait for this to unfold in the next month to come.
Absolutely. Hey, Kayla, let's head over to Bridgestone. I'm likening Yusei Saros between the pipes in front of Pekka Rinne, almost like Ryan Tannehill stepping in for Marcus Mariota. Mark Mariota. What is his name?
Mariota.
Good Lord. I forgot his name. But either way, are we seeing a changing of the guard here? What is this looking like? Are we going to see Pekka at least in between the pipes for this back-to-back game we have coming up against Carolina?
Yeah, I know. I think we were all wondering that, right? Because we're so used to Pekka Rinne starting the season. And we've started to see the past couple of years, UC starting to get in there more. And then last year, it really started to seem like UC was going to be the guy. Then this year came along, and we're thinking, okay, it's a shortened 56-game season. Maybe we'll see at the start, UC start one, Pekka start one. And we saw UC start in the season opener on Thursday. He clearly did a great job in net. And then we're thinking, okay, is John going to put him back in there on Saturday, or is he going to give Pekka a chance? And we saw him come out again and work in between the pipes and had a great showing again. So I think that says something to start the year when you put UC Saros in that starting spot. Because I think at some point you have to try to give him the reins and say, you're getting the reins now. You've got to show us what you've got. Prove it to us, which he has clearly done in the first two games at least. And then it's great because we have Pekka Rinne still that we can work in. That's what their mindset, I think, is at this point. So I think we're going to see Pekka on one of these game nights in terms of back-to-backs tonight or tomorrow. I would guess maybe tonight. But it's going to be something to watch, guys, because as long as UC Saros has the juice there in between the pipes, he's going to continue to be the guy for them. But it is nice to have a guy like Pekka Rinne when you have a shortened season, you have 10 back-to-backs. That's going to be huge for them.
Nashville Predators sweep Columbus in the first two games of the season, 3-1 on Thursday, 5-2 on Saturday. One of the new guys, Luke Cunningham, who's come in, a goal in both games. I'm very interested. I feel like I know what I'm getting from the Jofa line. I know what I'm going to get from Duchesne on that second line and some of the blue liners that have been here, Yossi, Ekholm, you name it, on down the list. But you have a guy like Luke Cunningham who comes in. I'm very intrigued to see what these new guys do on lines two and three and even the third line defensively to see if they can provide a little bit of a juice to this team and a spark that has clearly been missing for a while.
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head there. I think that's something that we spoke to John Hines about after Saturday's win over Columbus, because you saw early on new guys contributing. So what's encouraging, as you mentioned, you know, the Jofa line, I love seeing a guy like Philip Forsberg, who needs to be at his best almost every night because he is one of the most talented players on the roster here. He's obviously had two goals in two games, but it was really good to see a newcomer like Luke Cunningham, which I've seen nothing but good stuff from the get-go, and then a guy like Brad Richardson, who played for Arizona last year. He came on, got on the score sheet yesterday, and then you had a guy like Sissons, who we know the kind of worker that he is. So that's going to be huge when it comes to winning this season because, again, of the shortened season, you really have to have production every night. And when you're getting it from more than the top line, that's a big benefit. And I really like how the second line has been put together for the most part right now. It'll be interesting when Mikael Granlund comes off that COVID list where they decide to put him. He's had some peaks in the past, especially under John Hines. I just don't know where they're going to end up placing him. But what I really like, guys, is I like what this defense is starting to show. We've always had the guys like Roman Yossi and Ryan Ellis and Matisse Ekholm. But now you guys, we're seeing like hard-nosed guys, gritty guys that are coming out there and laying their bodies out there. You got Mark Borowicki, and you have Matt Benning on that third defensive line pairing. I call them the double Bs. And they are out there, and they are putting their bodies on the line. They are showing grit early on, and that's all that John Hines wanted to establish in these early games, is this is our new identity. We're going to work for everything we've got, and they're showing it early on.
Kayla Anderson, News 2, Titans and Preds. She's got it all covered. Thank you so much, as always, Kayla. Great spot.
Thanks, Kayla.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.